Good morning. I'm so grateful that yesterday the barbecue, the weather was really nice, and today same thing. There's no rain, so that's why I'm so thankful, and I'm excited here to sh share. I'm grateful that the Lord gave me the opportunity to share the message with you today, and hope we all get encouraged. Let's bow and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us such a beautiful day to hear your word. May your spirit guide us, and so the one who speak and the one who listen will also benefit from it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, the topic I'm going to share is a mature church. First thing is, I would like to ask, how many of you like to eat mangoes? Wow, a lot of you, huh? Great. You know what? I love mangoes. And there was one time, my wife May bought a case of mango home, and they were still green color. However, you know, mango, when they're green, they're sour. You can't eat them. So you have to wait for a few days. So I love mango, but I had to wait. And I wait for a few days, about a week or so, and slowly they all turn yellow. So finally, the whole box of mango turns yellow, and I thought it was ready to be eaten. So I start, you know, cut open one of them and taste it. Guess what happened? Yeah, it's still sour, exactly. And I couldn't open my eye. It was so sour. But I don't know why the Cantonese, they have a saying like, it's so sour that, you know, even the blind person can open their eyes. It's totally opposite. I couldn't open my eye. And I realized sometimes, you know, things are not the way they are. When you see them, they're ripe. But once you open it, they're not ripe. Same as a church. I realize our church looks like somebody say it's like a small sparrow that has everything in it. But as soon as I look closer, I found that there's still some shortcoming that needs to be overcome. And I realized that our church is not mature enough yet. And we have to go from here to there, from immature to a mature church. So that's why I chose this topic today. Now, first thing is, before we want to go to the world to preach the gospel, to make disciple of all nation, the prerequisite is our church must be ready. Our church must be mature. From immature to become a mature church. So we're going to talk about today the book of Acts. We're going to talk about the Acts. Chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. Now, you can open the Bible first, but I will tell you a little bit about the background of the book of Acts. Now, the first, okay, well, when you open the first book of the book of Acts, the chapter 1, verse 1, it says, refer to the first book. They mentioned about the first book. And that first book is referred to the book of Luke. Because if you look at the preface, the beginning of the book of Luke, and also the content and the style of the written was exactly the same. And from the historic scholar, they said they've proved that they were the same writer, the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And also, if you look at the content, the end of the book of Luke will end by saying Jesus was risen. And the book of Acts start by after Jesus was risen, he sent the Holy Spirit and descend the Holy Spirit and start building up the church. So, and then the book of Acts is also mainly talking about the development of church. And the church is a very important factor in the expansion of the kingdom of God. The purpose is to serve one another through different gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit, to unite with each other to build a church, and to bear witness for the Lord, and to preach the gospel. Now, the early church, they did not have an administrative system at that time. All they had were full-time minister and were apostle and the prophets. They don't have any other position to help out. So end up, all the apostles and the prophets will be really busy taking all the responsibility of the church. And the background about this passage was talking about, when a church has a problem, they must find ways to solve the problem. And then how to become a mature church is the first, you will encounter difficulties. You will encounter a crisis. Every church will have to deal with crisis. You have to notice where the crisis come from and where the crisis come from and how to solve the problem. And that's the prerequisite for becoming a mature church. So let's look at the Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It says, in those days when number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, in those days, what it meant by in those days, back in that time, in the church, the first church, the number of disciples was increasing. So whenever you have people, you're going to have problem because everyone have different point of view, have different background and different ideas. So people tends to be self-centered. Like they always think that, my idea is better than yours. You know, I'm right and you're wrong. So end up, it's hard to get along with so many people. Plus, at that time, they're talking about the number of people were growing increasingly rapidly. And so the more people you have, the chances is you're going to have more problem. Now, first of all, a maturing church, there are three steps. You must go through three stages. The church first will encounter problems. Second, the church must know how to solve the problem. Third, the church will become, once you know how to solve the problem, you will become mature and receive all the blessing from the Lord. First of all, let's read the few verses. It's an NIV. I'm going to read it, okay? You just listen. In those days, when the number of disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, so we will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Permanus and Nicholas, and Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostle, who prayed and laid hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now, I just already told you about the background, and the relationship of the book of Luke and the book of Acts. So, and this book is mainly talking about the church, the growth of church. Now, we must know more about how the church formed and how to be mature so that our church can also learn from how the apostle did. So the early church did not have an administration system, right? And so everything relied on the minister. And at this passage, it talks about like it was too much work, and end up they overlooked the Hellenist Jews. So what it meant by that was like there were two groups of Jews at that moment. There some were native, like they stay at Israel for the whole time. And there's another group who live in the foreign land, and they come back. So they spoke totally different languages. They spoke spoke Greek, and the native Hebrew, they spoke Aramaic. And what happened is, like, the group that come back from outside, they were influenced by the Greek culture, so they spoke the different language. Now, similarly, just like our church, we have an English-speaking congregation, and we also have a Cantonese-speaking congregation, right? And what happened was, at that time, because they have different culture and different languages, they create a little conflicts. Back in that time, the church will take up the responsibility to take care of the widow. And so every day they will take care of them, but somehow they were complaining the Hellenists, the foreign-born Jews come back to the land, and those widows, they complain that they don't receive the fair share. And it creates a problem. And the apostle, at that time, we want to observe how they solve it wisely, right? And so, now, for example, our church, we divided, like, we have two groups. We have English and a Cantonese congregation, right? I'm sure you know what ABC means, right? Most of you are ABC right here. American-born Chinese. And there's what is FOB? Right. Okay, we describe people who just come over fresh off the boat, right? And then what about the people who live here for a while, for a long time? Huh? Boywash?
Whitewash.
Oh, okay. That's another word. But it's OBC, overseas born Chinese, right? Well, for example, like, some of us were not born in here, but we come here for a long time, so we're overseas born Chinese, OBC. But then, you know, fresh off the boat is another joke. So, in other words, you know, even we have different habits. Like, for example, we have different beliefs. Sometimes the ABC might say, hey, during joint service, how come you guys speak all these Chinese, Cantonese, and some of the slang is not easy, right? And even though you might speak Cantonese, Chinese at home, but you might have a hard time understanding everything. So you might say, oh, it's easier to listen to English. But sometimes when we have service, we cannot accommodate both. So end up we use one language, and you might feel a little bit, you know, disappointed and start complaining. Now, same situation, the Chinese congregation might complain, how come we're all using English and we don't understand? The FOB, the fresh off the boat, might say, we don't know ang mun, why some bu jiang, you know, gong tai san wa. So, you know, we can't please everyone, right? Sometimes it's hard. And that's where the complaints will come, you know, happen. And some of you might say, how come we always eat rice during lunchtime? We don't have pizza or spaghetti, right? And stuff like that. Now, dealing with this tension, which is cultural differences, it's with linguistic differences, and it can cause dissatisfaction and complaints, which is similar happening right here. What they were feeling that they were being neglected because they're being looked down, like they're not originally stay with the Hebrew country, and that's what happened, you know. But the church, if the apostle didn't take care of this situation wisely, it can create a big problem, right? And over the years, I heard a long time ago, I heard a church, because there are some people who are deceased, you know, they're complaining about something, but the church didn't pay attention to it. They didn't take action, and gradually these people left the church, and they, you know, they divided. They started their own church outside. So it's not good. So to be a maturing church, we have to know how to deal with situation like that, the problem. We have to be able to distinguish when people were complaining, what, you know, is that a, you know, what problem lies behind it? We have to find out. Otherwise, you know, people will have division within a church. And what the devil wants to do is have division. Now, a lot of time, and also out of jealousy, like there's misunderstanding between those two groups. And so the lady, the widow from the foreign land come back, you know, they started to wonder, you know, how come they got more food than us? You know, how come they got better treatment, right? And the jealousy is started from there and become resentment. Now, the church, to be mature, we must first know how to solve problem like that. You know, not just the church, on your personal relationship with others. If you encounter some problem like that, you hear somebody complaining, don't take it lightly, because a small little hole can become a big crack. So the 12, and let's see how the apostle treat this problem. And verse 2, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Now what they're saying is, their calling was to share the word of God, to feed them spiritually. But now, because of this food issue, and it's a flesh problem, it's feeding of their flesh. And the apostle realized it's not our calling to do this kind of thing. So what did they do? They called 12 disciples. The 12 apostles called all the disciples together and let them know it's not right for them to take care of everything by themselves. So this is a show of positive communication. Now, it's not a negative communication. It's not, you know, you're trying to, hey, you think this is complaining us and you get mad. No, you're being positive. You take the issue and start observing and analyze, and then you understand the situation. Oh, what the problem is, it's because of the food distribution and stuff. And then they found a solution, you know, and then they have a positive communication and let the party, the complainer, know why they cannot take up the responsibility themselves. And so the positive communication is the first step. And when the apostle asked the reason why the complaint is, and they found out. Now, some people might say, hey, the apostle can actually take care of the ministry as well, the teaching of the word of God, and also take care of the physical need, the weight on table, weight on, you know. But, you know, just like a lot of people, they misunderstand that being a pastor is an easy task. How many of you think being a pastor is easy? Oh, no? Okay, then you're wise. Well, because being a pastor is, like, some people have a misconception. They thought, oh, being a pastor, only preach once in a while, you know, it's easy, and then on the week you got free time and all that. Hey, but that's not true. You know, being a pastor, you have a lot of responsibility, day and night. You worry about your congregation. You worry about, you know, how you can build them up. And also, you know, some of the people I heard, they will call the preacher, the pastor, for any little issue, such as like a drain clock. Somebody might call, hey, because you know what? They think being a pastor or preacher, oh, they have compassion. They seldom turn you down. And so they call them, or some issue physically, spiritually, mentally, they will call the pastor day and night, just, you know, because they believe their prayer is powerful, or they think that they know how to counsel people. So they have an extremely heavy burden, mentally and psychologically. And not only that, I mean, they have to plan out how to teach the Bible, how to lead worship, how to write sermon, and how to counsel people, and plan on the yearly project, yearly goals, how to manage the whole church, the funding, the budget, and all kinds of things in their mind. And it's totally different from you going to work at 8 to 5, 9 to 5 job. You go home, you forget about everything. You can kick back and relax. No, being a pastor is a very heavy burden. And so we need everyone to understand that. And we cannot add so many other stuff onto the shoulder of a pastor. And this is what happened. The apostle explained to them, hey, my calling is to teach spiritually, to word of God, not to feed you the food physically. So what they do is they found out a very good solution. First of all, managing meal is not an easy task, okay? Because you're talking about everybody have a different taste. You know, now some people say, hey, I don't eat meat. I don't eat pork. I don't eat beef. Oh, I only eat vegetables. And then, oh, I don't eat oily food. I don't eat deep fry. You know, all kind of stuff. But our church is only 100-some people. Now, imagine at that church, you're talking about, I'm telling you about 8,000 to 10,000 people. See why they're all of a sudden they're growing. When a church start grow rapidly, you're going to deal with problem because they only had 12 these apostles begin with the church. And now, God adds in the second chapter after the come down of the Holy Spirit. And when after Peter preached, the Holy Spirit, you know, draw 3,000 people to believe and got baptized. And after that, they're worshiping the Lord, they're being faithful, and God keep adding people daily to them. And then on chapter 4, the day that when Peter and John got captured by the priest, they add another 5,000 people into that church. You're talking about more than 8,000 to 10,000 or more. And how can the 12 apostles take care of all of these, right? And they know their limit. So they're not going to say, hey, I can take care of everything. I'm a superman. No, they're being humble and they know their limit. So they started to appoint 7 deacons to take care of their business. And so the apostles saw the needs and they elect 7 deacons. Well, likewise, when we see the problem, We think about how to solve it. We have positive communication. We find out exactly what it is. And then we got to find a solution. And this solution is that the apostles know their limits. So they will appoint 7 people to take care of this, to manage the food. Now, based on the Greek lexicon dictionary, the word to manage the food in here, that's the same as deacon. It comes from the root word of diakonos in Greek, diakonos. It means servant. Servant means the one who execute the commands of others. You're doing, taking orders and you follow through. And you are the executor, right? You do it. And so the deacon is a leader also elected by the church, and to associate with the pastor and elders to serve and govern the church. And the task of the deacon is to manage some other affairs rather than spiritually. Manage all the meals and so to make the pastoral staff to focus on preaching and pastoral work so they won't be distracted. And the most important thing for the apostle here is to list the qualification of the leader. And now the most important part for the qualification of a leader is not by their talent or their abilities to perform the task, but their spiritual character. Now why? Because if the spiritual character is not there, the person can be biased. They can still make mistakes. They can still taking care of the lights first and being unfair, and you're going to be causing a lot of problem. So now they set up the qualification is First, they must have good reputation. Now, good reputation in the original translation is a good testimony. So a good testimony, that means it's not just you listen from other people how they are, but you see how this person perform, how this person do. So that part is like, that show us that we don't want to hear everything by ear, but it's by testimony. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, it says, in the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, and not indulge in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. Now, right here, we talk about respect, worthy of respect, sincere, honesty, not indulging in much wine. Now, if over once in a while, let's say, in Christmas time, we have a gathering, you have a glass of wine and eating steak, that's okay. But here we're talking about not indulging. Indulging means like almost every day, almost all the time, and you are addicted. You want to do it all the time. Then because it's caused debauchery, the Bible said it's not good to be controlled by stuff. So that's a criteria. For example, now today, if you're serving the Lord at the church, the same thing, you should apply that to your life. You know, even though you're not deacon, but anything you're serving, set the standard high. Imagine if you're on wine and you cannot get up in the morning to come to worship, right? You're feeling lazy. And when somebody calls you and you don't want to show up. Now, so a lot of things. Now, the last one, not pursuing dishonest gain. Like dishonest gain, that means you're cheating or lying or whatever to gain. Now, they must keep hold of the deep truth of the faith with a clear conscience. Now, what I mean by the deacon has to have a deep truth understanding. They must understand the Bible, have biblical knowledge. Why? Because if you don't have a foundation, good foundation, you can easily slip. When something happens, you don't know the meaning of serving, and you feel like you're doing community work. Oh, and somebody not happy, and you get frustrated. But if you treat everything you do is serving the Lord, it's totally different, right? You will keep your heart into it, and you will not be afraid. So you will respect God and not treat it as doing people a favor. So that's very important. And they must first be tested, and if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacon. So they also will test you. Now, nowadays, I'm sure at the final, your exam now, everybody goes through the test. If you, you go through the test, and even Jesus, after he got baptized, he was led by the Spirit to the wilderness to test by the devil. Now, everybody needs to get tested and to know the, how it is. So, they have to have good testimony and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what I mean by that, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and all that. Like, if a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, his life is controlled by the Holy Spirit. He should show all this fruit of the Holy Spirit, the sign of the fruit of Holy Spirit. Okay, it's not like you think, oh, you got the power to, to scream and to do some miracle and all that stuff. We're talking about filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the internally, the strength to overcome sin and temptation and the fruit of the Spirit. So they have to go through all these in order to be appointed to be the deacon. So that's part of how important it is for a maturing church. And now they did wisely to pick the people from among. Now, whom did they pick to become the deacons in this case? They picked Stephen and Philip. Now, both of them were Greek-speaking Jews that were picked amongst the complainer, among the thousands of complainer, right? And they pick them out of them. Why? Why do they pick them instead of appointing a totally different person like a native Jews who never left the town, who speak Aramaic rather than speak Greek? Well, the reason, I'm sure you heard about the missionary, they went over to some remote places. After they share the gospel, they train the local people to become a pastor. They train their saint, their people to lead their own congregation. Why? Because they have language advantages. They share the same background and culture. They have the knowledge of what they're dealing with. They have more compassion. They care for their own people. But of course, they will go through your qualification system still. So after that, they pick Stephen and Philip. They both were Greek-speaking Jews, Hellenists. And they pick their own people from them, so they have no more complaint. And of course, they will be got to be treated fairly. And when the church wants to grow, it must be wise. We must be wise as the apostles. When problem arise, we must deal with it intelligently and choose some leader to handle the affair amongst the congregation. I believe also for our church in the future. Now, I am hoping that we're going to first build up ourselves. And in the future, we will have a system to follow just like this, so that we will have a solid ground to grow. Now, this is how they handle a church of more than 10,000 people. And when they do it wisely, right, what happened? What's the result on verse 7? Let's look at verse 7. So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests become obedient to the faith. So that means when we handle our problem wisely, a mature church is the result. And it will express in three different ways. Now, when it says the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased, that means our witnessing power increased. The word of God prospers. Second, increase, it brings increase the number. And then the number of the disciples increased. Third, and it conquered the enemy. Now, that means, and why? Because it says there are many priests who believe. During that time, we have a lot of priests come from Judaism, and their heart, they treat Christians as enemies. And even those people will come and believe in Christ. So now you know the power of being wisely to handle problems. It's very important. And on verse 7, it shows that, first of all, the problem removed. The widows are no longer complaining. Secondly, the apostle can focus on their teaching and the pastoral work. And the believer, spiritual life, were mature. And the third, the church dispute cease and the church united, and they have the power to advance. Now, the limbs of Christ, the body, we are the body of Christ, and every limbs of Christ, which is each member, each position of church, we must work according to our gift. Now, today, how many of you do not have a serving position at church? That you don't serve at church. Can you raise your hand? How many of you don't serve at church? Wow, everybody have a spot. That's good. I'm impressed. Now, if you have Just one serving position, if the church needs you, are you willing to take up more? If you're willing, raise your hand. If the church needs you, great. A lot of willing people. Now, for a church to become, to be a maturing church, we must be willing to join the workforce. Just like here, the word deacon means servant. We are here to serve, not to be served. But most of all, we serve God. So we serve God, that's why we serve at church. And only a few people cannot make the church grow. We cannot rely on two or three people. We need each and every one of us to take part in our every needs. So the most healthy church is everybody will take part, every single one. It's like the Exodus says, it says, all brothers, like the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so they can serve me. It's not one or two people to serve God, it's so they, that's a whole group of people. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are the chosen race, the priest, the holy kingdom, the people of God who are proclaimed to call you out of the darkness and enter the wonderful light. Now, you are the priest. We all are the priest. In New Testament, all believers were priests. In the Old Testament, only the Jews were selected people, but in the New Testament, all believers are priests. That means we all can communicate with the Lord directly. And we had a different change of status now. So we have an important responsibility is to be the priest for Christ. But what we sacrifice is not like the Old Testament, not the cow, not the sheep. Of course, we give our own body. Now, that's why the Romans 12 verse says, therefore, my brother, I will persuade you with God's mercy and offer your body as a living sacrifice, which is holy, holy, no filthy word, to be clean. And God is pleased. And you are treated as such, right? I remember when I was in school year in Canada during my time. I believe that church was pretty big. It was about 800 people at the time, and there were many ministry in the church. We had problem, but you know, don't take me wrong. We did have problem, but our leader really take care of the problem wisely, and people were willing to join in the workforce, join in and serve. And we had a Chinese school, choir, visitation department, we had Bible study group, and also we have other family group. And you know, every time when we ask if people want to help out, everybody join in. There's not single one say no. And that's why I'm so successful. See, I come to Christ by the visitation department. And after that, I joined the visitation department. I joined them and I become part of it. And I joined the choir group. And I taught Chinese school on Saturday morning. Now, so if you see your ability, I mean, if you can handle more than one, you can try it, you know, and if God allows you to have faith and, you know, the courage and try it and at the time. But, you know, but at least one serving position. But one, if you can handle more, I encourage you to do more. Because that's the way the church being built. It's all together. It's every single one, we got to join in. We got to give our part. All right, so, but I'm very glad that, you know, everybody's got a serving position at church. And so I would challenge you to after this semester, think about one more serving position, not just what you're doing right now. Okay, for example, you never do worship, you've never being a counselor, you've never do other instrument, you never sing, or you never lead a Bible study. Try it. Okay, just set a higher goal so we can build the church together and much, and then we can lead the church into mature. Well, let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for letting us know how to become a mature church. And we see that from the apostle, how they deal with the problem wisely, that leads to their blessing from you and become prosper. Dear Lord, strengthen our heart that we have not give 100% for you, because that's what you want, 100% fervent for you, Lord. And give us faith, give us the power, give us the wisdom when we have problem arise, and give us a spiritual eye to know how to know our limitation and find solution. Bless each and everyone in here as we approaching the exam and all that, and we ask you to guide all of us when we're serving. We'll be more pleasing and more acceptable to you. If there's some area we need to improve, let us know, Lord. For we relying on you. We're not relying on ourselves. We need your provision. Open our eye and lead us together. May your Holy Spirit guide us and lead this church into a better future. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.